You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Cleveland Indians edition. I'm Anthony Casters, and I'm joined by Jordan Bastian. I'm talking about Indians game that I, for one, I'm not ready to bury in the AL Central race, just knowing how crazy this game can be, knowing the Royals have 25 years of, more than 25 years of bad luck kind of behind them, hopefully behind them for their sake, but you never know what can rear its ugly head, and the Tigers are really stumbling here in August with all their injuries and uncertainty. So the Indians, meanwhile, starting to put things together in rotation. Trevor Bauer, Carlos Carrasco, and Danny Salazar have all come on strong here in recent outings, and obviously you pair those guys with Corey Kluber and what he's done this year, and things are starting to look up at a good time for them to look up. So bringing Jordan to talk about that. JB, how's that rotation? How much of a surprise is it to see the rotation clicking the way it has at this point? Obviously, they traded Justin Masterson in July, but really, this is the best rotation has looked all year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, TJ House had a rough one in the opener against the White Sox, only going 4 2/3 and allowing 5 runs. But before that, over about a 2-week stretch, the starting rotation had an ERA of 1.71. You know, I mean, these guys are just, you know, keeping this team right in it, especially with an offense that, I mean, as you well know, is kind of feast or famine, where they might go a week where if you get 2 runs, that's your support, and then they might break out and have a big night, you know, and score 7 or 8. But it's, you know, it's a pretty unpredictable offense. So having that consistent starting pitching of late, you know, has been just a godsend for the Indians. You know, it's something where the rotation numbers as a whole this season aren't that impressive. But when you just filter out the 5 guys that are currently in the staff and you look at their numbers as starting pitchers, I mean, obviously Corey Kluber improves the numbers as a group, but that quintet, you know, is better than the American League average, which I think would surprise a lot of people given the fact that, you know, these aren't household names. I mean, obviously Trevor Bauer's come with some hype over the last few years, but this is his first, you know, semi-full season. Kluber kind of was unheralded going into the year. Carlos Carrasco was a mess until the last month. You know, and TJ House, kind of nobody really thought much of him coming up too. So, yeah, this has been a pretty impressive group. And I'd say right now between the rotation and that bullpen, you know, the Tito's bullpen army, that's why the Indians are still right there on the cusp and why you can't really count them out yet.
Yeah, the bullpen army has been a regular feature of Terry Francona in Cleveland, and I'm sure the bullpen army will grow substantially come September 1st. But that's necessary for this club right now. You mentioned the first game of the Chicago series was the start of 30 games in 30 days, which is just brutal, especially with so much on the line. How is Tito going to handle that? How is this team going to handle that? And, yeah, how big will that bullpen army be in that stretch?
Well, it's funny. The first thing Tito said when we asked him about the 30 games in 30 days was, he said, "I can't wait to have more bodies and more arms." So you know that pitching staff is going to grow. I mean, it seems like they've been running out a 25-man pitching staff all year. You know, and Francona, the way he's been handling it, I mean, he always preaches that every game is as important as the next one and the one before. But you really see and feel that sense of urgency right now where – he's always a guy that's making a lot of pitching changes, but right now if he runs into a jam in the fifth inning, you know, he wants to stop the bleeding, and he might use 4 pitchers in that fifth inning if he feels that inning is the most important for either spreading the game or holding the game right where it is. So you're sensing that sense of urgency from the manager, you know, in the way he's handling his pitchers, and you're also feeling it in the clubhouse. And right now they're running a lot of young guys out there. Sometimes they're featuring as many as 4 rookies in the starting lineup. And I mean, as you've seen with other teams in the past, sometimes when you bring kids up who are on a roll in the minor leagues and then they come up to the big leagues, sometimes they just don't know any better, but to play hard and play well and keep a team afloat, and, you know, and rather than play spoiler, in this case, you have a team that is staying right in the thick of things, even though the veterans, you know, a lot of key guys they've been counting on just have not been contributing the way Cleveland would have hoped.
Yeah, those rookies have been interesting to watch. With the rookies come the rookie mistakes, of course. You think about a guy like Tyler Holt running himself into an out a few nights ago on the bases, and Jose Ramirez did one of those at home plate a few days ago as well. And but those guys have actually been fun to watch from my perspective. Zach Walters, for instance, is not exactly hit for average, but it seems like he's had some really timely home runs for them. And Holt obviously has done a lot offensively. How much has that really just been a change in look for the lineup to see these guys thrust into such prominent roles?
Well, I was talking to one of the coaches, third base coach Mike Sarbaugh, recently, he was a minor league manager for a long time in the Indian system. And I said, if I would have written down the lineup you're using today and showed you it in spring training and said it's August 26th or August 25th or whatever, and this is your lineup, where are you in the standings? And he laughed and said, we're last. We're in last place and the season's gone wrong. And that's basically what's been impressive about it is this lineup it looks like the AAA Columbus lineup a lot of nights. And obviously you still have some key guys, Santana, Brantley, Kipnis, Michael Bourne recently came back. So it's not like it's without the veterans and guys that are doing stuff. But, for the most part, you're getting a lot of contributions and surprising contributions. Jose Ramirez, who wasn't even on my radar as a shortstop, has filled in really well and displayed some tremendous range since taking over for Asdrubal Cabrera, who was traded. And obviously Zach Walters, as you mentioned, has come over and, his first six home runs with the team have either tied a game or given the Indians the lead. Ramirez has a walk-off hit. Roberto Perez has stepped in seamlessly since Yan Gomes landed on a concussion DL, served as a starting catcher. Tyler Holt came through with a pretty big pinch hit, run-scoring, game-winning hit a few games ago and has been just seemingly diving after every ball in the outfield. So you're seeing that spark that the Indians have hoped for from some surprising sources and, maybe that, gives a little more confidence to the fan base when you start forecasting for 2015 and 2016, where I think anything you get down the stretch here seems like a gift. And it seems to be laying a pretty solid foundation for the future.
We were talking about the bullpen army a minute ago, and I guess the general of that army has become Cody Allen, who took over the closing duties, I guess, somewhere around Memorial Day. And since that point, he's got an ERA under one. For Indians fans, there's been a lot of kind of hold your breath in the ninth inning over the years when you think about the Joe Borowskis and Chris Perez's of the world, but Allen's just been straight up dominant, and that's been such a weapon for Francona to utilize. Is it any surprise to you the way he's gravitated towards that, towards those closing duties?
Not really. I mean, I actually thought they were going to roll the dice and make him the closer at the beginning of the season, but I could understand both from a developmental and from a financial standpoint. Why the Indians wanted to delay that move and kind of keep him in that setup role. And they did, Francona really did like using him as sort of that stopper for whatever inning he chooses last season where, if he felt the eighth inning was set up to be more important than the ninth inning, he liked having Cody Allen for that. But Brian Shaw has kind of stepped into that role and done admirably as well. So, obviously things didn't work out with John Axford. He is in Pittsburgh now. Cody Allen has kind of taken over as the closer. And what's kind of funny about it is they've never come out and said, Cody Allen is the closer. And I think still if you ask Terry Francona, he would still curb his wording there, which is kind of funny because he's the closer. I mean, but it's like he just didn't want to say it. Like that would be pigeonholing Allen into only the ninth inning, when maybe there's something else might come up. And, you've heard Tito talk and the way he approaches that. But no, I've been very impressed, and I joked with Allen recently. I said, what's with all these, quick ninth innings? We're not used to this. We're used to rewriting our stories. So, but it's been drama-free, and as you said, there's been so much other drama with the Indians this year, so many other things that have had fans, pulling their hair out and being on the edge of their seat that I'm sure they're thrilled to finally have a closer, knock on wood, who is handling that inning with ease.
Yeah, it's a lot different look. And to your point, there's something about that in this industry where managers are always hesitant to name young guys their closer too early or too prematurely. And it kind of reminds me of the 2011 Cardinals with Tony La Russa and Jason Mott, who he wrote him those last couple months of the season all the way to the series title. And I think it was
after Game 7 of the World Series, he finally told him, hey, you're my closer. So,
oh, really?
The Indians hope for, I guess, a similar scenario there. But one last thing, JB, totally different note, but it was a really cool thing. You and I both had a chance to get out to League Park, the former home of the Indians in the early 1900s up to they played games there until 1946. And the city of Cleveland poured a bunch of money into it to get it, to reinvigorate it and have it ready for use in the Cleveland community by little league teams and high school teams and rec teams and whoever else wants to go out and play ball. What was your takeaway from being out there on the opening day?
Not only was the grand opening event just pretty awesome, but the you could tell the facilities were just state-of-the-art, and you know, you could feel the excitement talking to a lot of the fans that came out and seeing all the kids on the field and things like that. I mean, you could tell that neighborhood is really hoping that this is kind of a catalyst for, you know, changing that Huff neighborhood for the better. I mean, this is something where, you know, they're, from talking to some of the councilmen, you know, they had a lot of meetings to not only, you know, want to restore the historical side of this, but really put things within the facility in the park that kind of would be a, kind of a gathering place. You know, whether it's walking on the walking track or bringing the kids out to the little splash pad or having kids play little league games on that field. And, you know, they have the Baseball Heritage Museum, which is very cool, has moved permanently into the old ticket house. So, I mean, I was really impressed and really blown away by seeing it and getting to walk on that field and to know all the history that took place within those lines and seeing the, you know, that quirky 45, 48-foot wall and, you know, just the strange dimensions. And then seeing Travis Hafner in like a 1920s Cleveland uniform, he looked like he fit right into the setting. You know, it was a really entertaining opening, and, you know, it was really cool, and I'd encourage any Indians fans or just baseball history fans to head out to East 66 in Lexington and kind of check out what they've done with the place. So, you know, it's really cool, and I was happy to get out there and cover that.
It was the host site for two World Series championship teams, the 1920 Indians and the 1945 Cleveland Buckeyes in the Negro League World Series. So we'll see if Tito Francona and his bullpen army can get Cleveland back to that kind of a stage here in 2014. I want to thank Jordan Bastian for joining us. I want to thank you for tuning in. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz. It's been MLB.com Extras, Cleveland Indians edition.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game streamed live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.